You also mentioned the issue of the patient who presents with potentially surgical resectable disease, but yet with the primary intact, either a rectal or colon cancer. Can you kind of talk about how you think through that situation clinically?
Classically, surgeons were taught that you go ahead and resect the primary, send them to the medical oncologist, let them get some chemotherapy, and then you decide, do you resect the liver metastases or not? We now realize that if the patient essentially presents with a asymptomatic or minimally symptomatic primary, meaning it's not obstructing, they're not bleeding significantly, frequently we will go right to systemic chemotherapy to treat both the primary and metastatic disease. We'll usually give them about 3 months worth of treatment and then restage. The other thing that's interesting is we now have a group of patients, for example, it's a highly selected group, but when we looked at our data at MD Anderson of these patients in the last 5 years who presented, in essentially 24% of the patients, we resected the liver metastases before we resected the primary because their primary had essentially disappeared on systemic chemotherapy. They were totally asymptomatic, but they still had liver metastases that we felt were going to be essentially what was going to influence their survival. So it's caused us to completely rethink even the order of the operations that we perform on these patients.
But you still go back and do the primary surgery?
Still do the primary. Even though, again, this goes back to the question you asked, now that you have agents that will cause a response, what does that do to us as a surgeon? We've got patients who the primary seems to disappear. It's very similar to the data on chemoradiation for rectal cancer, where a certain subset of patients, their primary will go away. You operate on them. There are some pathologic CRs, but there's an even bigger group who have microscopic disease remaining either in the wall of the rectum or in lymph nodes. The same is true for the primary and the colon. Now, this brings up another issue that heretofore I hadn't had to deal with, but now that we have active agents, what do you do with the patient who has a liver metastasis or two liver metastases that radiographically disappear after treatment? Again, fortunately, there is data on this. Bernard Nolanger presented this at ASCO, which showed that of those patients, when they went ahead and resected that area, 85% of the time, there was still microscopic metastatic disease there. So what that means is even though patients downsize, you still have to get a good margin away from the tumor. You still have to look at those areas where there once was tumor and try to include that in your resection.
So let's dissect this out, so to speak, a little bit more in terms of this primary metastatic. So let's talk about the patient who presents with a primary colon cancer, relatively asymptomatic, and surgically resectable liver mets. How do you decide between starting systemic therapy, surgery? Can you go in and do both procedures at the same time? How do you approach it?
The answer is, generally, we will give that patient systemic chemotherapy first. The exception is if you have a patient with a tumor that tends to be a centrally located tumor, meaning that, as we both know, there are some patients who actually progress on systemic chemotherapy. They don't respond. They don't have either stable or responsive disease. I always ask myself the question, if this patient were to progress on chemotherapy, could they get out of bounds? For example, they have a tumor that's near two of the three hepatic veins, and if they were to grow, it would then involve the third. In that scenario, I've actually sometimes taken the patient and done their liver resection first. Then they get systemic chemotherapy, and interestingly enough, their final treatment is resection of the primary. So that's a very small subset of patients, but those are the sorts of thought processes we're now going through when we evaluate these patients who present with stage four disease.
What are the situations, if any, where you would consider resecting the primary and liver in the same procedure?
Depends on the volume of the liver resection. Because of hepatic regeneration, we always worry, how is that going to affect healing of a primary anastomosis? The liver, of course, is a very selfish organ and uses up a lot of protein and energy to heal itself. We and others have shown that, for example, if you've got, a right colon cancer and you're not going to do a major resection, say a segment 2-3 resection or a few wedge resections, then yes, you can certainly do both. You can do a synchronous operation where you take out the primary, you deal with the liver. Now, if it's going to require, say, an extended right hepatectomy, taking out 75 or 80% of the liver, and a very difficult rectal case where you're going to have to do a coloanal anastomosis, no, you would not do both of those at the same time. That would simply be too much and would be too risky to the patient.
What about the patient who has a symptomatic primary, again, either colon or rectum, which is going to make you take the patient to surgery, but again, the patient has surgically resectable liver mets? Again, would you do it in the same procedure, same guidelines you just mentioned?
Rarely. I won't say never, but rarely. Again, if it's, say, an obstructing right colon cancer and they've got a solitary met when you do intraoperative ultrasound in segment 2-3, yes, I would probably do that. Conversely, if it's going to require a major liver resection, I would not do that at the same time. I would go ahead and stage the patient with intraoperative ultrasonography to confirm that there's not other disease, but I would tend to resect the primary in that case, give the patient systemic chemotherapy, and then come back.